Okay, and welcome to the Film Stock Art Film Club. This is the first attempt at the at this audio cast. What the idea is that we'll get a bunch of readers from Film Stock Art together. We'll review a film over a period of a month. We'll all get to watch it. And then whoever wants to come in can come into an audio cast. We'll chat about the movie and see if we can get an interesting review out of it. Or if not, just a good hour of laughter and stupidity. Which, considering the two I've got on today, is probably quite true. So, first of all, let's do the intros. There's myself, obviously, Richard from Film Stalker. But also we have Steve and Mark. So I'll hand over to Mark so he can do a quick intro for himself.
Hi, I'm Mark from Manchester. And that's about it, really. Looking forward to this, so there you go.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Thank you.
And then on to Steve.
Stephen, Richard. I'm Stephen, and I mean, this was the first time I'd watched Predator a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, well, you've told everyone what the film is. That's good. That saved me a job. Sorry, do you not want me to use your Sunday name, Stephen?
Would you rather Stephen, please. Steve?
Yeah. Okay.
There's no Steve.
All right. My apologies for calling you Steve earlier. Okay, so what we do is we do I suggest three or four films, and everyone that's in the Film Stalker Film Club takes a poll on that to decide which film that we're going to look at and review. And the choice that was selected out of the three or four films I'd suggested was Predator. And obviously you can tell that they're not going to be current films. They're going to be going back to the back catalogue. And actually Mark just reminded me something earlier when we were discussing the film, is that it's about 20 years old, which I just couldn't believe. This makes me feel so old. But I chose Predator as one of the selection, and I'm glad everyone else voted for it, because it's just one of my favourite fun action films. I'm a big Arnie fan. He does action really well, and he's just the epitome of the action hero. And I think Predator is just one of those films that has all those elements together that every action film should have and pulls it together so well. And it's just absolutely entertaining. And I can't believe that it stands up so well to this date, if hopefully everyone else agrees with me. So that's why I chose Predator. And I'm glad that everyone else voted for it. And I presume, Mark and Stephen, you both voted for it as well.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I did as well. I mean, I saw it at the Flicks when it came out, so I'm showing my age somewhat there. I saw it when I was 17.
My lord. So you actually saw it in the cinema?
Yeah, I did do. And this was around about the time when I started going to the cinema a lot, so it probably says a lot about my taste at the time. It was kind of this and Aliens and Commando and stuff like that a group of us would always go and see. So there you go.
Commando. No, that's a good fun film. Totally stupid, but a lot of fun. So Predator is, let's see if I can give a quick summary. Predator's pretty simple. Arnold plays a character called Dutch, who leads a team of specialist soldiers whose job is to go in and perform rescue missions in areas where other soldiers wouldn't go. What they're used as a kind of last resort by the army. And there's a hint that before they've been used for missions that haven't been quite been search and rescue. They've kind of been put into areas and used for sort of assassination sort of missions. And that doesn't sit well with Dutch. What he wants to do is his team only do search and rescue, and that comes out a little in the start. And what they do is they're sent into a search and rescue mission in the middle of the jungle. What they start to find out is it's a bit more than that. They've been lied to. They've actually gone in to clear out a camp and get some information that from some, I think, Russian spies in there. And they're following a couple of teams who have gone in before them and haven't come back out. And what they find on the mission is that there's some sort of creature in the jungle, picking them off one by one, and that they killed the previous teams as well. And that's when Arnie comes into his own and starts fighting back. And he's got a good team behind him. There's quite a good few actors in there. The film, actually, before I go on, the film is directed by John McTiernan, who I don't know if he's in jail yet or not, but at the time he was a pretty damn good director. And it stars people like Carl Weathers, who you might remember from the Rocky films, which actually that leads into something you were going to say, Steve, about the film.
Yeah, and there was a couple of scenes that were very familiar with not the Rocky film, it was Rambo. But when they made the film, they had Rocky IV in mind, how Stallone had fought everybody he could on Earth, and what would it be like? Was he to fight an alien or somebody from outer space? And that's where somebody said it was a joke. And McTiernan came up with an idea that I could actually make that into a film. That's where he got the idea for this.
Ah. Yeah, because if you say that tagline, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, to be honest, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Rambo fights alien. Although if you hear the new plot of Rambo 5, it's not far off. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I read it on the site the other day.
Ah, good answer.
Yeah, that's where I saw it too.
Liar. So there's a couple other people in there. Carl Weathers, there's Bill Duke, who you might recognise. Big, bald, black guy. Really, really cool dude. He's been in a lot of films, actually, and he's often playing the big, muscular character. Jesse Ventura, who... Oh, God, what was his wrestling name? Silence.
He had a good gun, though. That's all I know.
Yeah, he had a good gun in the film. What do you call it? Was it
Old Painless?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, God, I can't remember his wrestling name, because he was a WWF wrestler, wasn't he? That'll come back to me. And there's a couple of other people in there, but interestingly, one of the actors who plays the character of Hawkins is Shane Black. And that's the writer who wrote Lethal Weapon, Lethal Weapon 2, Last Boy Scout, Lethal Weapon 3, Last Action Hero, The Long Kiss Goodnight. Strangely, Lethal Weapon 4. Oh, no, sorry, my mistake. He's only done the character. So, yeah, so he wrote Lethal Weapon and is credited for the story for Lethal Weapon 2. He did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which you haven't seen. That's an awesome film. And apparently he's tied in with Lethal Weapon 5, if that ever happens, according to IMDb.
Yeah. I've heard that story, because it's the one about the snow of cocaine falling on Los Angeles, isn't it, at some point in the film, apparently.
Hmm.
But there you go.
Well, that's a little bit of a surprise that he's in it as well. And Sonny Landham, who I'd never seen before the film, but plays the superb Indian sort of tracker character. And it's an absolute superb lineup. I don't know about you guys, but I love the cast in it. And the characters are superb. There's nothing too much done to them, but I just feel in that opening sequence with the helicopter in, and the opening sequence is up to the first time they're in the jungle, we just suddenly learn so much about the dynamics of how those characters interact and what they do. It's just given you just enough to flesh them up and get going with the story.
They were all believable. You believed that the role they were playing was then. It didn't feel like they were acting a role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I liked about it, especially in the first kind of 5 or 10 minutes when you see them all, is they feel like an established gang already. You can believe they've kind of been together before and they have that history. And that's one of the things I really, really liked about the film. And, you know, it's the first time I've watched it in about 10 years, I must admit, but I still got that sense of kinship from it, and I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you get those little niggles between them and everything, and when Dylan comes in, Carl Weathers' character, you know, they're very anti him. They're all either switching him off, or if it's like Blaine, which is Jesse Ventura's character, they're directly antagonizing him as well.
Yeah.
And he's really got to prove him. Yeah, that was a really enjoyable part of it, actually. It was the teamship of that. And it kind of the rivalry, but also friendship between Dylan and Dutch, Arnie and Carl.
Mm.
I quite like that as well.
I'll tell you something I had forgotten was how buff Arnie was at the time, because he's absolutely huge.
Yeah, he's that opening scene where they go in and they go into the command tent, and Dylan and Dutch meet, and they do that mid-air arm wrestle.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And even see, actually, fair play, Carl Weathers is huge as well.
Yeah.
But Arnie is unbelievable. I think it's as close to I know I was going to say worship, I can't really say that, I feel bad now. but you know, you can look at that guy and just be in awe.
Yeah.
Of him and not feel that you've gone too far, or maybe I have.
That's a good back out there, Richard, I would say.
I love Arnie.
Will we hear this when you've done the edit?
No. And I really like that. That's really, I think that's crucial for an action film, is it just doesn't leap into straight action, but it actually gives you some sort of basis of reality and some character in there.
Yeah.
And you know, it is only Predator, there's not much to it, but it does enough to build you that those characters. And so when you see them getting picked off one by one, it really does start to affect you. And especially I find the relationship between Blaine and Mac, that was Bill Duke and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know, I wouldn't go so far to say you felt it was very emotional, but I don't know about you guys, but that was the closest. You could almost feel Mac's pain when he's just losing it and going into the jungle alone. So, yeah, that was a really good aspect. I think it needed that. And it makes the latter half of the film, when Arnie's on his own battling the Predator, so much more worthwhile, I think, and so much more meaningful. But those are the good things about the film.
Mm.
It's a great action flick. It's very well put together. Builds characters well, gives you a good basis for the action that happens in the second half. The action sequences, I think, are really well done. There's great use of the jungle, of lighting, superb use of lighting, because a lot of it's shot in darkness, and some clever, neat ideas with fighting the Predator. However, there are some bad points, I think. And I think, Mark, you mentioned something about a bad point. Or I mentioned it and you agreed, so I'm going to get to talk a bit about it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'll say a good point, to put it in context first, if I may. And one of the things I think still stacks up is the work that Stan Winston did on the actual Predator itself. The downside to that is when you see it up in close context, especially the rubber hand on the branch is just terrible. And it almost breaks the magic of the film for me at points like that, because you can see through the Predator as, you know, a character, and, you know, let's face it, he's really a guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah.
But when you kind of see through the magic, it just spoils it a bit. And I wasn't even sure if the shot was, you know, worth keeping in the film, because I think it would have worked a bit better without that. But that's not to say it's a rubbish creature. I mean, it's one of the best creatures in movies, and it's still being used today in the... I was going to say the continuation of the franchise, but it's wrong to call it that because it's woeful. But in the Alien vs. Predator stuff, you know, and it still works as a character. And it'll be interesting to see what Rodriguez does with it when he does his reboot, because apparently he's keeping the creature the same.
Mm.
So it was just that whole thing with the rubber fingers just really, really annoyed me this time. I had missed it at the pictures. But of course, when you sat there in the quiet of your own home watching it, it reveals all of the little niggles and stuff like that. And that was the only thing, really, that upset me about the film, I think, on the second watch, because for the most part, I still enjoyed it as much as the first time. So,
yeah, I've seen that about, I think I've seen it about, I don't know, 10, 11 times, who knows. I've seen it a lot of times, and I think the last five or six times, it's the scene where he's patching his legs, and I think Stephen is going to mention that as well. When he's patching his legs, that you're right, it takes me out of the film.
Yeah.
And it just suddenly loses me. And I wonder, did it really need that? But I think, Stephen, you've got another point about that scene, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, going back, I mean, I didn't notice the rubber hand, to be honest, and whether it's because it's the first time I've seen it, and I was thinking this is a 80s film that actually has half-decent special effects for the time. So I missed the rubber hand.
Good for you.
Yeah. All bad for me. But yeah. I mean, I thought the special effects were good.
Yeah, you said something about that scene, though, when he's patching himself up. You didn't like something.
Well, there's that one, and there's a scene later on with Arnie where the similar seems to Rambo, the one with the Predator where he's stitching himself up was very similar to Rambo when he was being chased and hunted and he'd been injured. And he took a break, sat against a tree and stitched himself up.
Yeah.
The Predator does that. And then later on, Arnie hides in the mud. Very similar to what Rambo did as well.
Oh, I forgot that. Is that the same sort of scene?
It's later on where Arnie hides himself in the mud.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that in Predator. I don't remember that I don't remember Rambo doing that.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, he's halfway up in the hill, isn't he? And they're coming after him, and he hides in the mud.
Oh.
Maybe I'm getting my Rambo films mixed up.
No, you could be. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen Rambo.
Yeah, I'm sure both scenes are in Rambo.
That was 6 years before. Yeah, I remember the stitching scene. I do remember the stitching scene, because that was quite well done.
He's hiding in the wall, covered in mud, and one of the guys walks past, and then he comes out and puts his arm and strangles him from behind.
Ah. So this could be a complete rip-off of Rambo.
No. I think, in those two parts, I think they got the idea from Rambo.
Yeah. I never realised that, actually. I think that rubber suit thing is an issue. I don't find such a big deal with the stitching up scene, because I can understand that. Because there's a big play made of the creature's been hit a couple of times now with bullets. And you would think they would, if they're coming down to hunt every year, or the hottest years, they would have some sort of first aid kit, because they would expect to have injuries. So I don't know, I went with that in the story. But it's the bit where the creature's grabbing implements and things, and you can see where the fingers end in the suit, and the rest of the predator fingers are bending backwards. And that was a bit... That took me out a bit. And although, I know you guys are saying that the effects are good, there were a couple of other bits that got me. I think it is amazing how they did the creature for the time. What I also love, actually, that's another point, is that I really love the fact that they didn't make loads of the Predator earlier on. And you can see in a modern monster film, what they would do is they'd show the creature early on to show you the horror of it. They always break that. They don't build it slowly. And actually in Predator, they did do that. They built it slowly. So you see a lot from inside a suit, watching the humans, you hear a lot of them, but it's quite a while, I think, before you actually see them invisible.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we only either see, like you said, through his own eyes, or we see the hidden Predator, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Where, through the girl's eyes, she sees, it's like the trees are moving.
Yes.
She can't understand why, and that's because it's reflecting off him.
And that was quite a good effect as well for the time. I think it's still a bit overdone, but I think it's quite a good effect. It still holds up quite well. But the fact they held off doing that is really good. And I always remember something Hitchcock once said, and he did a little video on it to prove it. He was talking about the suspension of belief, and he believed that the best thing to do for an audience is if two people are sitting talking at a table, is to show the audience the bomb underneath the table straight away and keep clipping back and forth. And I get that. I think that works. But also, in Predator, it does the opposite. And it's not just Predator. It's loads of films, obviously. I'm not saying Predator is the only one that does it. But in this film, they do it where they hold off showing you the main scare for a long, long time in the film, and it builds it. So when you finally do see it, it's pretty powerful. I'm trying to think as well. When do we first see the Predator in all its glory?
It's quite a way in, isn't it? I think it is about 40, 45 minutes in.
Is it after Billy gets killed?
Yeah, I think it is. Because before that, you see the special effects. And that's what I really liked about the film, is that you spend your time constantly searching the background of the jungle, looking for that special effect, trying to see where that next kill's going to come from. And also, it makes the jungle seem another character in the movie, because it does seem quite alive, the jungle, as well. It's always moving, as it should be. But it just kind of draws you in, and then when you finally see it, you're just like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And it still stacks up as a great, great movie monster to this day, I think.
Yeah, because that whole chase scene from when Billy stops, so they're down to four of them, I think it is. Billy stops in that tree and he decides, I'm going to go mano a mano, takes out his big knife,
yeah,
and decides he's going to fight it. And you don't see any of that, which I think is wonderful. All we see is Arnie's dragging the injured guy with him, and the woman's running along, and I think you hear the scream from behind them. Oh no, you see the predator's view looking over, and there's Billy standing there on the tree. Then we cut back, they're running a bit, and then we hear his scream and nothing. And that's superb that we don't see all the action there. And how unusual is that for an action film these days, not to just cut to every action scene and show you everything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what was the fact I heard about the Predator a few years ago? Apparently the Predator was based on Whoopi Goldberg.
She's that scary.
Yeah, apparently that was the story I heard from the Stan Winston Creature Workshop, and he was talking about it. He said, "Yeah, we just couldn't get it right until somebody said that she'd have dreads like Whoopi Goldberg and look a bit like her." There you go.
You can't see it too.
Yeah, you can when you think about it.
Yeah, I can. That's why I'm laughing now. I think that's awesome. The scariest creature they could come up with. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, not Whoopi Goldberg, but that's one of the things that Alien vs. Predator has lost, is the build-up to it. And also the fact, the one creature kind of idea, and giving it a personality and a fear. Because, with 400 creatures, there's none of that. It's just it's a mass of creatures racing at you. There's no big scare for that. There's no big build-up. And I think that's where Alien vs. Predator really went wrong.
Mm.
Another thing, actually, I was going to bring up, I was thinking of the CGI, so we talked about the invisible part, but the thing that bugs me at the end, I guess, is the explosion. And I didn't realise until this viewing that it's just a matte painting.
Yeah.
So it doesn't move or anything, just superimpose this, boom. It's like it's not a lot of frames, but there's like a few frames of just a matte painting of a mushroom cloud, and it and it cuts back. And I was, this is the first time I've watched it and going, is that just a painting? That didn't even move. It's just a bit cheesy that he manages to duck behind a tree and save himself from what seems to be a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, there was no fridge involved, but yeah, he did end up
It was a fridge moment. What's that saying that people are using now about the fridge?
You mean like Drop the Shark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember.
That was a dreadful film, but never mind.
But yeah, a big explosion would have been fine, but to have a nuclear explosion and then, like you said, see a painting of the explosion and Arnie's behind it wasn't the best ending they could have had.
Yeah.
I really wish they would revisit this. You know how they update CGI and some things. I really wish they could revisit this. They could reshoot the scene where they're fixing the predator's fixing his leg. Take out the rubber fingers. They could reshoot some of the invisible scenes to make it a little subtler. And they could reshoot that explosion ending. I don't know if they could do it and really fix it, but they could do it close, I think.
Is Rodriguez making a remake, or is he just talking about it at the moment?
Well, it's not a remake, is it? It's called Predators.
Yeah.
Right.
So if Predator was Alien, Predators is Aliens, so the idea is just the same. Group of commandos going to the home planet of the Predators to... I don't know what the aim is. Either it's to wipe them out, to have a quick word with them to say, stop coming to Earth. Please.
Yeah, harsh words.
Yes, I've told you once. You and your rubber fingers. Or Or whether it's just to go and wipe my eye. I have no idea, actually.
So is the commander's going to the Predator's home?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And what worries me is he's already said, and there'll be lots more new creatures.
I don't know. I mean, it depends in what context. Because what did I watch after Predator? I watched Predator 2, just to see kind of how it stacked up. And there's that famous shot of the trophy cabinet, and there's other alien heads in there.
Mm.
So there's already a bit of background there, isn't there? They come into contact with other alien species.
Yeah.
And kind of reading between the lines, and I hope that he doesn't go down this route. The feeling I got was it was a rescue mission to rescue humans from a zoo.
Oh.
The Predator homeworld is the kind of the feeling that I got from it. And I was like, right, okay. Maybe that's how he's going to do it. But I'm not sure because, you know, you probably read the same piece and got something totally different from it. So, but that's how I saw it. And I think there's other creatures already in Predator lore. So maybe we'll just get to see a bit of background on them.
That's quite an interesting thought, actually, because then it really does become aliens, doesn't it?
Yeah. But anything's possible with Hollywood these days and remakes and reboots, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so disappointing, actually. There's just no... I mean, we've got to face it. Remakes and sequels and prequels and everything have been on the go for a very long time. Even in black and white days, they were doing it. However... I think the intelligence is gone. There's no desire to build a new story, to do something new with it. It's all about, oh, there's a ready-made audience, let's exploit it. It's not, let's try and give them something new and interesting, let's try and make something worthwhile. I just think that's lost now.
Yeah. They're not trying to prove. They throw in a modern-day teen and then think, right, we've got a teen audience now. And regardless of the story, it's just aimed at a teen.
Yeah, and that was... I can't remember why I said that, but I was talking about some story. It's not going to come to me, actually. I was talking about something and I'd picked up on a comment. Oh, that's it. I remember now. It was Fahrenheit 451. And it was Frank... What's his face?
Darabont.
That's the one, thank you. He was trying to sell his Fahrenheit 451 script around Hollywood to get it made, and he's been talking about it for ages, and Tom Hanks is keen to do it, and nobody will buy it. And he said, one of the studio execs said to him, you know, it's a brilliant script, absolutely wonderful, really would like to make it, but it's just not for my PG-13 audience. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to market for a PG-13 audience all the time. Like, well, with that attitude, you know, what are we going to get?
And that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So Fahrenheit 451 is dead because of that. And you think, there's another story right about, I know I'm going wildly off topic now because I'm going to rant, but yesterday I was writing about the Ice Spit in Your Grave remake.
That's a great film. The original. Yeah.
And that was banned. It was termed a video nasty. It was X-rated at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And now they're going to remake it, but they're saying what they're going to do. Oh, the things that have been done with Hostel and everything, I'm sure we can get it made without an R. Like, what? A story of a woman who gets brutally raped and abused and then goes off and kills her attackers one by one in a sexual way? I don't think so. I can't believe they're talking about doing that. Anyway.
I mean, it was a challenging film at the time, but you know, in these days as well, you'd have to be pretty ballsy to carry it off.
Yeah.
But by putting that limitation on it, it's just not going to work, I don't think.
No, not at all.
What certificate was Last House on the Left? Because wasn't that another video nasty of the time that's been remade?
I think that was an 18, wasn't it? Or an X at the time.
Yeah.
Came out. And have you seen the remake of it?
No, I never saw the remake. But I was wondering what certificate it was, whether they'd dumbed that down for a 15 and less.
I'm looking up BBFC right now.
The remake is absolutely terrible, I think. The actual setup is actually pretty good, but the actual payoff, it just turns into a teen horror flick. I was expecting, you know, Matthew Lillard to come running on it any time, as he does in the Scream franchises. And it just weed all on the original for me.
Weed.
Yeah,
No, that's fine. Now that's interesting. So, in the, it was 1974 film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
72, so, I think.
Well, sorry, 74 it was released on, according to the BBFC. And it says the work was rejected. I'm just reading what it says about it. They won't supply a reason at all. So it was rejected, resubmitted with 84 minutes, rejected, it was resubmitted again on video. Oh, sorry, it was resubmitted in 2000 at 84 minutes and was rejected again in 2000. And in 2001 it was rejected on video. And it was 2002 when it was given an 18 certificate with an 82 minute cut. So there you go.
They still cut it in 82. So was that 82 or 2002 you said? At the
it end? It was 2002 was the first 18 release of it in video, and that was an 82 minute cut. So that's with... Now, it doesn't say how many minutes were cut from the original film, but in 2000 it was submitted with 84 minutes.
You wonder what they cut, because, I mean, 2001 Salo was shown on Channel 4 uncut, so you wonder what was in Last House on the Left has been cut.
Yeah, but, well, the thing with the BBFC, isn't it, is it's not just about what you see.
Yeah.
I think that's what the MPA get their knickers in a twist about all the time. It's not about what you see, it's about context, and it's about meaning. That's how they allow a lot more through, is they understand the meaning and the art, if you want to say, behind the film, rather than just going, oh my God, someone's holding a woolly, that's not allowed, let's cut that out, you know? There's some thought about it with the BBFC, which I like.
What were we talking about?
I know, yeah, what was the film?
Yeah, Predator. Has anyone got anything else they want to say about it?
Yeah, I have one thing. It's something that's kind of just occurred to me on the, you know, on the rewatch, if you will. I thought that as a film, I thought it was absolutely perfectly paced. Mm. You know, not once in a film of concentration drifting. Which is quite unusual for me, because I recently watched Gangs of New York for the first time. And, you know, great film, really well made, but my concentration was drifting here and there all the way through it. But with Predator, it wasn't. It was, you know, the beats are in the right place, it's engaging, and it worked for me. And I don't think it would have worked if it was any longer or any shorter. I think they'd made it to just the right length. And I kind of sat down afterwards and tried to find out how much it was made for. And I was wondering if that was a constraint of the budget or the actual script that Shane Black had written. And I just didn't know. So if either of you two could shed light on that, I'd be kind of, you know, be interesting to hear. But I just thought, as an action movie went, it is up there with one of the best, I think.
Yeah, I agree. The pacing is fantastic. And as I said, it spends just enough time building those characters, building the reality of it, and then it escalates the action with every death until the final scenes with Arnie. And yes, we can agree now that the ending is a bit a bit cheesy, but not back in the day. I remember seeing that and being blown away by it. And you're right, the pacing's fantastic. The editing is superb as well. I remember watching it, I didn't think there was a wasted scene in it. I think you could probably say there's not even a wasted second.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably argue the Predator fixed himself, but I think that's still quite important to the story. It's just not showing it's a faceless enemy. It's starting to show a bit of the, I hate to say it, use the word, but a bit of the human side of the character as well. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I'm not a big action fan yet. I mean, this one was probably one of the better ones I've seen, especially considering when it was made. I mean, I did find towards about two-thirds way through, I was thinking, let's just get to the big matchup at the end, but it was okay. I mean, for when it was made and watching it now, it does look okay still. It was okay. I said, that's why I took one of those okays out.
You said lots of okays, yes.
But then, it was better than most action films.
But then,
I'd prefer Gangs of New York. I wouldn't lose track in Gangs of New York. With this, I did find myself thinking, let's get to the end.
Yeah, but then I know what style of movies you like.
Yeah. Slow, dreary.
Or just freaky.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another guy that might come on some of these audio cast later on, and you might get on really well with him. He likes similarly freaky films.
Yeah.
There's another one of you out there.
Two freaks. Freaks of the world unite.
You get a freak stalker.
No.
That maybe gives the wrong impression. Yeah. All right, I think we've done Predator and a few other things along the way. I think generally we can agree that it was a really good action film. I know Mark and I really do think that it was really well paced, edited. I think it was excellently filmed. CGI still holds up well, not perfectly, but and apart from CGI, I don't think anything else in it could be done better, even today. In fact, I think if they did it now, they'll do it. Didn't make a mess of it, to be honest.
Yeah, if they did it now, they'd get all the things you wanted fixing, they wouldn't, and the things that are right now, they'd change.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine what sort of cock-ups they do in a new version.
Yeah, just think Predator 2 for that, I think.
Well, I don't know. I think they get it even worse, because the first thing they have to do is... okay, so we have to appeal to the PG-13 audience. So the crew has to be younger. We have to have a younger...
Well, they'll have all served in Iraq as well.
Yeah. Iraq soldiers, all about 20. There's going to have to be a couple of women in there to appeal to a group audience. I think that already would just ruin it. Zac Efron would be in there. He'd probably be leading it.
And it'd be a musical. There you go.
Predator the musical. That's fantastic.
And there'd be another video game tie-in as well.
I don't know what the video games. I played them. I like them. They're really
I remember
cool.
playing Predator at the time and not actually understanding what it was because I'd never seen the film. There you go.
That's the one you can play as the Predator, you can play as the Alien, or you can play as the Human. Oh, that's Alien versus Predator, the game.
Yeah.
That was awesome. You could be the Alien, just crawl up along the roof and stuff, chomp people's heads out. Anyway.
Yeah, often shooting at a blur on your screen, because that's where the Alien was. I remember that.
I remember getting panicked by it and crapping myself while I was playing it.
I had nightmares about that game. It was the only game that's given me nightmares.
And on that note, so I think what we're saying is watch Predator again. It's definitely worth a revisit.
Or a first visit.
Yeah, even now. It's definitely better than the Alien vs. Predator franchise.
By a long stretch.
All right, so that is the first Filmstalker Film Club review. Hopefully next time we'll have more people on. And hopefully when they hear this, they'll realise it's not that scary. It wasn't scary, was it, Mark? Steve?
No, I enjoyed it, actually.
Easier than I thought.
Yeah, it takes a little while to get going.
It will get easier.
It will get a lot easier, yes.
And there's always the freak film to look forward to next year.
I think that'll be coming quicker than next year, actually. I've already got three films lined up for the next one. I'll tell you about that in a second, because I'm not going to give it away here. All right, so all that remains is to thank you, Mark and Stephen, for joining me.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Good.
And we look forward to hearing you on the next one. In the meantime, keep reading Filmstalker, and... thanks very much.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before. We cannot see it, but it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear. It kills for pleasure. It hunts for sport. But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt. He is the ultimate warrior. If he is to destroy it, he must become more than a man. More than an animal. He must become the very spirit of the Predator.